This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين وقال تعالى ألا لعنة الله على الظالمين وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم ما بعثت لعانا وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لعن المؤمن كقتله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable علماء الكرام, respected brothers and elders, the ayat al-kareema that I have recited before you, the moralist translation of this is known to every Muslim. And that is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have not sent you but as a mercy unto humanity in its entirety. In fact, the scholars unanimously agree that there isn't an atom on this entire universe that did not benefit from the coming of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Furthermore, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in describing the love and the kindness and the mercy and the compassion and how affectionate he was for the believers, Allah uses the same description and Allah uses the same words by virtue of which Allah describes His kindness for His creation. Allah uses those same words describing the kindness of Nabi alayhi salam to the believers. Allah says, فَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَرَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. Your Lord is most kind and most merciful. And Allah describing the kindness of Nabi alayhi salam says, حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. That the Nabi of Allah is most kind and most merciful to the believers. But today I wish to speak on one aspect of the life of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that despite Nabi alayhi salam being sent as a mercy unto humanity, his kindness, his mercy, his compassion, how affectionate he was, yet we find this very same Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has been referred to as a mercy in and out, has cursed certain people for doing certain actions, which makes you and I understand how grave and how evil the consequences of those evils are, that it took such a kind Nabi also to utter curses for such a person. One side, the Nabi of Allah detests, disallowed, disapproved of cursing to such a way that in the riwayat of Muslim Sharif, there is a hadith, a sahabi by the name of Tufail ibn Amr Dawsi comes, Ya Rasulallah, inna dawsan qad asat wa abad fad'ullah alayhim. O Nabi of Allah, the nation of those to which I belong has violated all the commands of Allah. I beg you, I beseech you, I implore you, invoke Allah's curse upon my nation until and unless you will not curse them, their eyes will not open. Nabi alayhi salam makes dua, Allahumma hdi dawsan wa'ti bihim. O Allah, guide the nation of those and bring them to me as believers. He says, no, Nabi of Allah, I am saying curse. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, oh Allah, you shower the doors of hidayat upon them. Oh Nabi of Allah, curse. Nabi alayhi salam says, oh Allah, you give hidayat to this nation. The ulama say it was the effect of the dua of Nabi alayhi salam that from this nation and this tribe and this progeny came Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who the scholars of hadith unanimously agree has narrated nothing less than 5,374 ahadith. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself says, ma bu'ithtu la'ana. Allah has not sent me to curse. One day Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had a discussion or a debate with someone, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr used some unpleasant words to that person. So Nabi alayhi salam said, Siddiq wa la'an kalla wa rabbil Ka'bah. One side you Abu Bakr, and one side you curse. These two qualities can't gather in a Siddiq. Either you Siddiq, that is the most truthful, or either you are one that curse. But you Siddiq also and you La'an, I take the oath of that being in whose control is my life. These qualities can't merge or be combined in one human. In the riwayat of Bukhari Sharif, Babu Tark al-Hayd al-Sawm, Nabi alayhi salam crosses or passes by a group of women and he then addresses them on the day of Eid. And he says, Tasaddaqna ya ma'ashar al-Nisa. Oh, the group of women give charity in abundance. Addressing the woman, ladies thought, Nabi alayhi salam spoke about the virtue of giving charity. فَإِنِّي أُرِيتُ كُنَّ أَكْثَرَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. I found Jahannam was shown to me, and I found Jahannam is greatly occupied by women. That's why it comes in Bukhari Sharif, first volume. بِمَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Why, O Nabi of Allah, do we become the occupants of Jahannam? Nabi alayhi salam says two reasons. تُكْثِرْنَا اللَّعْنَ وَتَكْفُرْنَا الْعَشِيرِ. Your tongue is very loose. You curse too much. You curse very quickly. Allah will show her. Allah will break her legs. She will see what will happen to her. Over petty things, over trivial things, you start cursing. Some item gets missing in the house. You accuse the domestic servant. You curse her. Your tongue is very loose. You curse too much. One reason. Second, takfurna al-ashir. You constantly, perpetually ungrateful to the bounties and the favors of your husband. Nabi alayhi salam then elaborates, لو أحسنت إلى إحداهن الدهر ثم رأت فيك شيئا قالت ما رأيت فيك خيرا قط. If any man or husband is good to his wife for one decade, the riwayat of Bukhari, and then after 10 years, one day by mistake, perchance, he does something contrary to her likes. Nabi alayhi salam describes the ungrateful nature of the woman at this juncture. She negates all the good of that man. And like one alim said it so beautifully, she will point to the husband with the ring that he bought, with the bangles that he bought, wearing the clothes that he bought, and she'll say, you did me nothing, you bought for me nothing. In your house I see no good. So what does Nabi alayhi salam say? Because of cursing, you will end up in Jahannam. I'm only highlighting few ahadith, how evil, how the Nabi of Allah dislike cursing. In another hadith, he explains his kindness for his ummah. Allahumma innama ana bashar. O my Allah, I am a human like any other human. أَغْضَبُ كَمَا يَغْضَبُونَ. Just as other humans get angry, I am also bound to become angry. فَأَيُّمَا عَبْدٍ آذَيْتُهُ أَوْ لَعَنْتُهُ أَوْ شَتَمْتُهُ فَاجْعَلْهَا لَهُ زَكَاةً وَرَحْمَةً تُقَرِّبُهُ بِهَا إِلَيْكَ. If perchance, when I become angry as a human, not as a Nabi, the anger of a Nabi is different. It's one personality. He stands here as a human and he stands here as a Nabi. One is his anger as a human, and one is his anger as a Nabi. One is his curse as a human, one is his curse as a Nabi. His curse as a Nabi is divine, approved by Allah. His curse as a human, it depends on the situation. But look at the kindness of Nabi alayhi salam. O my Allah, I am a human like other humans. فَأَيُّمَا عَبْدٍ آذَيْتُهُ. If perchance one day in my anger, I verbally abuse any person, I insult any person, I accuse any person, like I am a human and I offend a man, I verbally tell him something unpleasant, or I curse him, then I intercede on that insulted person and I ask you, O my Allah, فَاجْعَلْهَا لَهُ زَكَاةً وَرَحْمَةً تُقَرِّبُهُ بِهَا إِلَيْكَ. Make my curse in his favor a source of an atonement for all his wrong. And make it, O Allah, that by me as a human I slipped up and I uttered this curse, by virtue of me offending, by me making this mistake and offending him, O Allah, forgive his sins, pardon his sins, and bring him closer to you, O Allah. So one side, Nabi alayhi salam, the hadith I quoted, لَعْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ كَقَتْلِهِ. Nabi alayhi salam said, cursing a believer is tantamount to killing a believer. Cursing a believer is tantamount to killing a believer. Now I just highlighted before you few ahadith where the Nabi of Allah disliked, disapproved and disallowed cursing. Yet there are certain situations in the hadith where we learn this very kind, loving, caring Nabi has not cursed once or twice, but repeatedly certain people in this very ummah. Allah protect us. Who are they? Nabi alayhi salam ascends the pulpit. Ameen. He ascends the second pulpit. Ameen. He ascends the third step. Ameen. Anas radiallahu anhu is present. O Nabi of Allah, sa'ibta thalatan fa'ammanta thalata. Something unusual, peculiar, strange we observed today. You ascended the pulpit. We heard nothing. We seen no one. On every step, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. What were you saying Ameen to? Please let us know. O Anas, Jibreel descended now. Jibreel cursed three people. And I approved and I endorsed and I sanctioned the curse of Jibreel. Who are those people who have been cursed by Jibreel, confirmed by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Tell us, O Nabi of Allah. بَعُدَ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ فَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ قُلْتُ آمين. Jibreel cursed that person. And curse in no ordinary curse, I will explain now. May he be disgraced. May he be humbled. May he be weakened. Who? That person who finds the great month of Ramadan, and due to failing in not capitalizing on this golden month, he fails to earn the pleasure of Allah and earn the forgiveness of Allah, that such a blessed man comes, yet he is negligent and he does not have his sins pardoned. Jibreel has cursed him, O Anas, and I have said Ameen to the curse of Jibreel. Second person, may that person be cursed. رَغِمَ أَنْفُ رَجُلٍ ذُكِرْتَ عِنْدَهُ فَلَمْ يُصَلِّ عَلَيْكَ. May that person be cursed, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in whose presence your blessed name is mentioned, and he mises to even say sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let us all recite Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. May that person be cursed in whose presence your blessed name is mentioned, and he mises to even send durood and salawat on you. Jibreel curses and I say Ameen. The third curse, رَغِمَ أَنْفُ رَجُلٍ. May that person be disgraced who finds his parents in old age, one or both of them, and does not take advantage of this opportunity of serving them, by virtue of which he can earn Jannat. He engrosses himself in other things, forgets the opportunity that he have to serve his parents, take their du'as. Jibreel curses, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says Ameen. Brothers, who can shelter that human who has been cursed by Jibreel alayhi salam, and that curse has been confirmed and affirmed and sanctioned and sealed and approved by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The ulama ikram explain something very strange. If we look at these three instances, Nabi alayhi salam hasn't cursed a person that is making zina, although the sin is grave. Fornication is something indeed severe, but the Nabi of Allah hasn't used the words of cursing him. The man not discharging his zakat, indeed the punishment is severe. Nabi alayhi salam hasn't cursed him. What is common between these three and other incidents which I'll mention now, that the Nabi of Allah so kind, so loving curses. The ulama ikram explained so beautifully that we notice generally when a person is asked a simple task and then he fails to do it, then it upsets you even more. I asked you for something so simple. You can't do a thing like this by serving your mother, then you deserve Jibreel's curse, and I say Ameen. Such a simple task that I'm not asking you to read the whole durood and salam. I'm not saying mention my name. When my name, that is Nabi alayhi salam's name, is mentioned, you can't reply. So simple, you deserve Jibreel's curse, and I say Ameen. Can we imagine how grave the consequences are? In the riwayat of Bukhari Sharif, one side the Nabi of Allah is telling the woman, because of cursing you will end up in Jahannam. This curse of his does not come as a human, but this curse of his comes as a Nabi. Like the scholars unanimously agree, the two most wretched people on this earth are one who assassinates a Nabi and one who is killed by a Nabi. The first one being wretched, everyone would understand. There's nothing to debate. A man who assassinates a Nabi, any prophet for that matter, and this is what the Quran said, that the Yahud assassinated not a prophet but Anbiya, prophets. فَلِمَ تَقْتُلُونَ أَنْبِيَا اللَّهِ. Everyone would agree that any human who assassinates a prophet is evil, nasty, wretched. But the scholars say that person who is killed by a Nabi is also evil. Why? Because a Nabi possesses the greatest element of kindness and mercy. You must be indeed evil for such a kind man to kill you. Such a person that possesses so much patience, tolerance, perseverance, that can swallow, contain and resist and persevere, and such a man kills you, indeed you are evil. Indeed you are evil for a Nabi to curse you. In the riwayat of Bukhari Sharif, Nabi alayhi salam has cursed, Allahu Akbar, ta'isa abdu dinar wa abdu dirham wa abdu al-qatifa. I'm only quoting those warnings which are directly linked to the curse of Nabi alayhi salam. One is, a person prioritizes what is important, what is not important. When we value or we look or we assess the wrong that we are in, so many of us are involved in those haram which directly become or make us the victims of the curse of Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salam says, O Allah, let make it such that that person falls flow and he falls headlong on the ground. Who, O Nabi of Allah? That person who becomes the servant of wealth. In the riwayat of Bukhari, ta'isa abdu dinar, may he be destroyed. Woe be to such a person who in u'tiya radiya, if he is given wealth, he is happy with Allah. Wa illam yu'ta, and if Allah doesn't give him how much he wants, he becomes angry. Nabi alayhi salam says that person who makes this world, this temporary, world his object, his abode, and he diverts and generates all his abilities and faculties in accumulating and amassing. Nabi alayhi salam has cursed him in such a way that Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam says, Ta'isa wan takas. May he fall not once, not twice, but repeatedly. Wa idha shika. And if perchance, when he falls down in the riwayat of Bukhari, if he is hurt, or he is poked by a thorn, wa idha shika, fala untuqish. Then may Allah make it such that there's nobody to remove the thorn that is hurting this man. Such stern words have come out from the lips of that man who came as a mercy, who promoted kindness, whose morals in and out was kindness. Indeed, the crime must be severe for such a man to curse in a way like this. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ آكِلَ الرِّبَى. He who touches interest, my curse is on him. Allah's curse is on him. The Yahud are telling us, it is a savings account. It is investing for you. Nabi alayhi salam is saying it's a curse. Allah is saying it's a war. Believer, it is left for you to decide. Do you accept the words of the Yahud that it's your saving account? Or do you accept the words of Nabi alayhi salam that it is a curse? And the words of Allah is, فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. When you touch interest, then you have started a war between you and your Allah. What percentage of the ummah today is at war with Allah? Leave the war in Palestine and Afghanistan. What percentage of the women of this ummah have directly announced and accepted and come on the platform of warring with Allah? The words of the Quran, فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. The ulama say that there are only two instances in the entire Quran and Hadith where Allah mentions the punishment of announcing war. On no other crime, on no other vice, on no other violation, as Allah said, me and you are at war. There are two such sins. Allah says, if you touch it, then now me and you are at war until you don't abandon the dealing, until you don't get rid of that house, until you don't sell that car, until you don't drop your standards and come onto halal. If it is your money, it is your money. لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون. Don't oppress, don't be subject to oppression. What is yours, but nothing of interest. There are two instances in the entire Quran and Hadith. One is that person who touches interest, and the second person, it comes in the Hadith al-Qudsi, where Allah Himself says, that person who interferes with any friend of mine, that person who interferes with any friend of mine, Maulana Khalil Ahmed Saharanpuri rahimahumullah, who is the author of Badlul Majhud, which is the commentary of Abu Dawud, which is one of the authentic books of Hadith. Allah says, if you interfere with any friend of mine, now I am announcing war with you. Now you are not interfering with that friend, you are directly, you are now interfering with me. Behind that man is my strength. Behind that man is my army. Behind that man is my help. He was walking. Someone insulted him. Maulana Khalil Ahmed Saharanpuri rahmatullah alayh. He told his disciples, go take revenge from that man. So they all were shocked and amazed that Islam teaches kindness and perseverance and tolerance. And instantly you are telling us to take revenge. That man hardly took few steps. He fell down, he fainted and he died. He said, I told you, badla le lo warna mera Allah badla lega. Take revenge, otherwise my Allah is going to take revenge. Not once or twice, but I have seen it in my life. When people interfere with me, my Allah gets involved. Had you involved and hit the man, my Allah would have withdrawn his azab. I said it as a statement of kindness and not as oppression. So in essence, only on two instances in the entire Quran and Hadith has the punishment of war been mentioned. Nabi alayhi salam has cursed the man giving interest, the man taking interest, the man associated with interest. Brothers, if there's iman in our heart, wallah, we will become restless. That we are moving around with war with Allah. We are moving around with the curse of Nabi alayhi salam. Maulana Shabir Ahmed Uthmani rahmatullah alayhi writes under the commentary of the science so beautifully. I terminate my talk with these words. وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِّبًا لِّيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ فَلَا يَرْبُو عِندَ اللَّهِ وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن زَكَاةٍ تُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُضْعِفُونَ. And I beg and I beseech and I implore every brother that has been gathered here, if we are involved in any of these wrongs, in fact, when the scholars and the jurists, when they decide in the light of Quran and Hadith, which sin is major and which sin is minor, then any sin on which curse has been mentioned, it's the consensus of the scholars that becomes a major sin. When they analyze, in the light of Quran and Hadith, the prohibitions in Quran and Hadith, if there is a sin upon which the warning of curse appears, there's no difference of opinion that that is a major sin. By doing this, you become guilty and you become a victim of the curse of Nabi alayhi salam. Interest is not only the curse of Nabi alayhi salam, but the war of Allah. Maulana explains so beautifully under the commentary of this ayat. Allah speaks of two things. Allah says when you discharge in zakat, Your wealth is apparently decreasing. Allah says, negate what your eye sees. I tell you, your wealth is increasing. Furthermore, Allah says, وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِّبًا لِّيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ. When you're giving interest or taking interest, you're bonding or whatever it is. Allah, one brother told me so nicely, who got involved in interest and then he faced the consequences. He says, Malana, I'm conveying this message to you and you pass it on to the ummah. Tell them the banks and the bank managers are not there to love you. They are like a stock sweet. They give you that sweet and you suck on that sweet. When that sweet is finished, they hit you with the same stock, with the same stick. And he said it with tears because he experienced what had happened. Nevertheless, Maulana explained it so beautifully, that when you discharge zakat, Allah says your wealth increases. When you give interest or take interest, your wealth decreases. He explains this with a practical parable and example. He says, take for example that person who is eating junk food, who is eating takeaways, because of which, or is eating unhealthy food, because of which he's expanding, his stomach is bloating, he's becoming big, but he's not becoming healthy, he's becoming fat. That's unhealthy weight he's picking up. Some foolish person might perhaps comment, this man is really a strong person. Look at how big he is, how built he is, how big his stomach is, how big his hands are. So he might be a healthy person. The expansion that is coming in your wealth by virtue of interest is unhealthy money that is coming inside. That fat is unhealthy. That will bring you, give you, doctors are sitting here, physicians are sitting here, how unhealthy that is, how it will catch up with him at a later stage in his life. Because of weight, he is vulnerable, he is prone to pick up so many other illnesses. So that fat and that expansion, that is not good to him, that is harmful. Likewise, that wealth which has been multiplied and has been increased on the grounds of interest, that is unhealthy wealth, and that will also contaminate the existing wealth. Your fat is going to harm yourself, it's going to introduce a host of sicknesses, and currently your health is also at a risk. On the contrary, that there is another person who has perhaps been treated by some physician and he has been put on some laxative to clean his inside system. He's getting thin, but he's becoming strong. He's getting weaker, apparently he's losing weight, but the losing of that weight is healthy because what he's losing is beneficial. Brothers, we all say blood is important, blood is beneficial, but when filthy blood gathers in a form of an ulcer, then all of us agree, as beneficial as blood is, that blood we got to get rid of. We say cut it out quickly and operate and get rid of that blood. One side people are dying for blood and here we're getting rid of blood. Why? This is filthy blood. So we're getting rid of that blood. Likewise, that money that is increasing through interest, that is haram, that is contaminating that wealth. Wallah, you will love and you will never see barakat out of that money. You will never see peace, happiness and bliss. Brothers, let us come out of the curse of Allah. Let us stop having war with Allah. And then when we will lift our hands, Allah will take pity on the ummah wherever they are. First, let us stop our war with Allah. Then Allah will stop the war of the kuffar with the summa. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the ability to abstain from these crimes and these sins in particular and all guna. But these sins which I have briefly highlighted before you, by virtue of which, or because of which rather, one will become a victim of the curse of Nabi alayhi salam. And may Allah make us amongst those fortunate people. We will discuss inshallah at a later stage. Just as the Nabi of Allah has cursed certain people and certain actions, in the same breath, the Nabi of Allah has made dua for certain people and has made dua for certain those that carry out certain actions. So may Allah make us amongst those who withdraw from the curse of Nabi alayhi salam and become deserving of the dua of Nabi alayhi salam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.